Hello, gay men. Welcome to Coming Inside Out. I am John Durler.
I'm Brian James. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good to see you. Just a little plug here. This episode is brought to you by Hancock Homes Realty. If you guys are looking for a great realtor, we're working together. Yes, if you know of anybody that is looking for a place in Los Angeles or Palm Springs, we're working both.
Yes.
Let us know and we will take care of your friends.
Yeah, or if you have a friend that lives in another state and they need a referral for an agent, we'd be happy to help you out.
We'll be happy to help you out. But yes, our real estate empire is bringing you this podcast.
Yes, and you know, along those same lines, and our podcast is about real estate, but the interest rates are dropping, so that's us.
Yes, you read that, and they're dropping. So let's see where that's going to go.
Yes,
that's going to go. But how are you?
Well, you know, if you're watching us, you'll see that I'm sporting my November mustache.
That's right.
This is week two of my mustache. So
my looks good.
I look like the Lorax.
You do look like the, look at that. I think that's hilarious.
I've never had just a mustache before, so I'm sporting that for November.
Good call.
Men's Health, if you want to get on there, I'll post that information again in the notes section and you can get on there and donate. I thought we would talk about Pride.
Let's talk about
Gay Fathers of Los Angeles, part of Gay Fathers Worldwide.
You know, it was awesome. We've been morphing, you know, because we started as Gay Fathers of LA.
Yes.
Then our friend Bob moved to Palm Springs. He created Gay Fathers of Palm Springs. And then a lot of people from San Diego. So
yes,
we morphed into Gay Fathers of Southern California.
Well, we were cocooned at first because we were closeted Gay Fathers of wherever we were.
Anywhere in the world. Yeah.
Now we're butterflies, right? Now we're just out there flipping around.
I'm a big monarch. Butterfly. That's the only one I know. Did you know if a butterfly lands on you, that means it's good luck?
Really?
Yeah.
All right. I need to go to a butterfly sanctuary.
No. Well, you know what? There's one in downtown LA, or by USC at the museum there. What's that museum? They have all the dinosaurs.
The La Brea Tar Pits.
No. Tar Pit. No, that's Mid-City. I'm talking USC.
No idea.
Anyway, great butterflies. But anyway, I was working on a farm with my mom's good friend, Peggy. Peggy, she was amazing. Called her Aunt Peg. And she taught me how to roof a fucking house when I'm 11 years old. I mean, this woman, she was a country woman. She lived in the country, and I would go stay with her and hang out with her sometimes. And she taught me how to roof a house. And here I am carrying a stack of shingles on my shoulder. She's up there, you know, talking to me. And then she goes, John Michael, look on your left shoulder. And I looked over and there was a monarch butterfly just kind of like hanging.
Oh, Jesus. Right. I would have like thrown all the stuff. Good thing I wasn't.
would have shat your pants.
Butterflies look pretty from a distance, but when you see their faces up close, it's scary. It's scary to me. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Aunt Peggy. She's no longer with us. Oh, my God. I love that woman. She was amazing. She was
very nice.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe you had a butterfly land on you at Pride. Was that your first?
No, I have some other things. Yeah, I mean, Pride. But
was that your first Palm Springs Pride?
Oh yeah, yes, that was my first. And you know what, guys? It was I had so much fun. I didn't really realize. You know, I thought, okay, we're gonna be walking around. Everybody's in their booty shorts, and it's gonna look good, and we're all gonna flirt and all that. But my aha moment was we started to march.
Oh, here's some Sunday.
But the march itself, there was thousands and thousands of people on.
They said 200,000 people were down there for Pride.
I could see that. There was just thousands of them lining the streets. And there was 300 entries to march. And so we get there, but right in the middle of the march, you know, we're going by and we have our banner and we have all the Gay Fathers and I was holding the banner on the front left and someone was in the middle, someone was on the right. And so, you know, we're waving, but when you really take in the crowd.
Yes.
And there was young people, old people, and they were cheering and laughing and waving because they see the Gay Fathers and they love that. But the love that was just thrown out there, I started crying.
Yeah.
I started crying of how touching it was. And they just were looking. I mean, that was a big, big, big moment for me, especially when you have hidden yourself for so long and you come out and look, people are applauding. They're applauding you for who you are and what you've done. And it was just, it was very, very moving.
It was all walks of life. It was families with baby strollers and older.
Yeah, there were breeders. The breeders were there.
Everybody was there. So what I found nice, and you know, Sunday was amazing because we marched and we were 113 of the entries in the parade. Which was nice. But Saturday, you know, you're downtown LA. There's all the vendors.
Downtown
the street
Humphrey.
Fair.
Oh, yeah, downtown LA. Did you have any cocktails before today? Any cocktails?
I had no. It's early, so no. I haven't had a drink since. Right. I had enough. John can contest.
I'm going to tell you guys everything.
I had enough.
I'm going to tell you everything.
On Saturday. But we were down there, the vendors. It's a place where you can go and you can see somebody that was attractive and you could look at them without it being offensive. You know, you were just free to be you down there. So you could see two men down there holding hands or whatever, and you could look at them. You know, if I'm where I live up in Valencia and I see an attractive man, I'm not going to look at him because he may turn around and punch me in the face. So it was just so freeing to be down there and just to just be yourself, just whoever you were. You didn't have to worry. I found it so liberating to be down there.
You make up a great point. This is a beautiful point because listeners could be completely married right now, would never come out right now. Yeah. And there are different stages in this process. Yeah. There's just different stages. And you, Brian, you hit on something right on the head. It's you're being free. You can, it doesn't matter what people are thinking about you. You're not being judged at all. You're not, you can wear what you want to wear. And I felt that I've taken another step of accepting who I am by this process. However, you know, I wore my jean cutoff shorts.
Yes, you did. I noticed the
short shorts.
Yes,
I did. And you know, we marched and it was great and all that. And then we go back to Bob's house and we have lunch over there and we're all there talking and everything. And either I was going to stay Saturday night, go to a pool party or just come home. And I chose
Sunday night.
Yeah, Sunday night. Thank you. So Sunday, I was either going to go to a pool party, then come back Monday. But I thought, you know what? I need to get back. And so I had my pride, because we had shirts that said Gay Fathers of Southern California, and there's this big kind of bird. What the fuck is it? Is it a bird? The logo?
Yes.
It's a bird.
I'll think of what it is.
Well, anyway.
Yes.
Wearing that shirt, and I got packed up, and then I changed out of my booty shorts. I changed out of my short shorts into my other, you know, just longer shorts. And then I was packing up, walking, and then one of the guys goes, oh, he just kind of like laughed and understood. You're wearing your, you know, regular shorts. I go, yeah, you never know if I get pulled over. I go, but wait a minute, if I get pulled over, who knows? They like my good job. But the point is, I hid that.
Yes.
I hid that from the masses, which kind of is ironic because that's what I was there for. It was to celebrate Pride, celebrate who I am. But I didn't take off my shirt. And so I get to LA, and shout out to Irv's Burgers. If you've never been to Irv's Burgers, they're great. But I stopped off and got a hamburger to come home for dinner. And I walked in there with my shirt on.
And if you walked in there with your booty shorts on, you may have gotten a free burger.
Probably.
Or a punch in the face.
Well, hopefully not, but it was that at that moment that I'm proud of who I am and I'm not going to take my shirt off.
Yeah.
And people, you know, I walked in because I never felt that way. Being a white man, walking everywhere, I've never had an issue of being judged or anything like that.
And well, in a prior episode, you said you would throw down and kick ass.
I would.
Beaten to the ground. So I don't think many people are coming up to you and judging you on who you are or what you look like or what you're wearing, because you are going to throw down.
I will, and I will throw down. You're right. But you know what? I think we all have our insecurities.
Absolutely.
There's our insecurities, and yeah, but it was another aha moment of like, hey, this is who I am. And I had no problem going in there and ordering, but I was conscious. I'm like, oh my God, I'm wearing this shirt. And I just kind of, and there was these two guys you think that would punch you, right? They were sitting at the counter and I just kind of was standing to the side and they looked totally straight, but I could, you know, I'm judging them. And I was like, what are they going to think about me? And it was nothing. The guys were just eating and there was no like eye contact or anything, but none of that. Now the guy working behind the counter, he was cute and he was flirty, but it was just a big moment for me to go in there. This is who I am. And so,
the fact that we feel like we have to pack this up to go home, that you just can't go
right
home to who you are. Now,
I would do that when if I was married at the time, of course you
100%.
You put your whore bag away, yes, and you hide everything and it's all, you know, and then you go back to the life you're living.
I had my closeted life. I didn't have a whore bag while I was closeted because I didn't have that experience, but anything I'm wearing in Palm Springs, yeah, I'm wearing at home.
Sure.
I'm who I am 100%, unless I'm around my kids. If I'm around my kids, my shorts are longer or whatever, this, that. But that bird on our shirt, I believe, is called a phoenix.
Oh, it's a phoenix.
Right?
Oh, because rising out of the fire.
Yes. And then I also wanted to bring up, while we were doing the march on Sunday,
yeah,
one of our listeners, I'm going to call him a fan, one of our listeners was screaming out from the crowd,
right.
And then John and I met him,
yeah,
after the end of the parade and took a picture with him. His name was Martin.
Shout out to Martin. Thanks for coming by. That was so sweet.
He said that he listens to our podcast on his way to work.
So where does he live? Where's he from?
I don't know where he lives, but he's a nudist, he told me.
He is?
Yeah, he shared that. He actually wrote into the podcast once and shared that. He may have shared that with me, and I'm sharing it with Buddy, but
yeah.
Yes, he was the one in, encouraging naked pool parties, which I still have not been to.
Right. And wait, did you, I left before you left, right? Yes. What time did you leave?
I left probably an hour after you left.
Okay.
I came home. I came home.
Because I
was hungover. God damn.
Let's talk about that. Hungover. So I get to Palm Springs on Saturday.
I don't drink a lot. So let's start with that.
He's prefacing you. So, I get there Saturday. Where one of our gay fathers, they had an Airbnb and they were having a party. And I get there and guys are there, the food's there. We bring our own booze and everything. It was fun. And I'm like, where the hell is Brian? Where's Brian? So I asked one of the guys. I said, hey, where's Brian? He goes, he's indisposed at the time. And I'm like, oh, is he getting fucked right now?
Yeah. Brian's driving the porcelain bus.
Brian. Well, you go ahead and tell the story.
I had too much drink on Saturday. I think it was the combination of it was warm.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't eating.
Oh.
Probably dehydrated.
Yeah, that's not
good. And walking, I walked 10.
Drinking fucking bourbon.
Yeah, I walked 10.7 miles on Saturday.
That's, did you really?
I did over 20,000 miles. I did over 20 miles Saturday and Sunday.
Really?
Yeah, I did 10.7 miles on Saturday. I did 8.6 miles on Sunday. But I was drinking bourbon with a buddy of mine, and on an empty stomach, and it just caught up to me.
You're walking, then you're out in the sun, and yes. you didn't prepare for it.
I don't remember from pretty much 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
There's about 3 hours.
I remember. I remember 4 to 7. You were hugging the kimono.
I was laying on a cold tile floor.
I mean, from you doing that and you bouncing back, because you bounced back like I couldn't believe
it. Did. Well, you so did. Then we went back to town. I did not drink anything after probably like 3:30 on Saturday.
Yeah.
I went back to town and we went to a dispensary and I bought a joint.
Oh my God.
And I smoked a joint.
And you liked it.
I loved it. I would rather smoke a joint than freaking drink alcohol. I'll tell you that right now.
So, right.
Yeah, I smoked a joint and then I was stayed out late. I stayed out late with one of the gay dads. We went to a place called Street Bar.
Yeah.
I think is what it was. We were in line for like 40 minutes hanging out and just talking to the people in front of us and behind us, having a great time. And then went into the street bar and hung out. And
Going to, is that Arena? Is that the boulevard or the street? Uranus,
but Arenas.
Well, I guess that's like where a lot of the bars are. So we were walking, this was Saturday, and we were walking around. Was that Saturday? Yeah. Walking around there. And, you know, I met a lot of guys. And, man, they're from
I bet the you did.
I did.
I bet you did.
All over the world. You know, and so that was Saturday, because I didn't know the magnitude. I didn't know how many people would be there. I had no idea. I could see that it was 200,000.
Yeah.
But, you know, the youngsters, they were having so much fun. And it was nice to see that. They had a safe place to go. So friendly. People talking. You're walking on the sidewalk or even just walking to the event. You have to park, you know, a half mile, a mile away. But you see people walking and just you're talking. It's just a great time. It was really fun.
It was. If you have not been to a Pride, I liked this better than the LA Pride, to be honest with you. I went to WeHo Pride. I didn't go to LA Pride. I went to West Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, LA. Did you go to? Wait, I'm sorry. You went
to
LA?
I did not go to the LA one. I went to the West Hollywood one.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Palm Springs Pride a lot more than I liked.
Why?
WeHo.
What did you like better?
I thought there was a ton more vendors down there. I thought.
And where were the vendors? Were the vendors on that other street?
Where our parade ended,
yeah.
We went to the right.
Yeah.
On the other side of that giant stage,
yeah.
It was like a mile of vendors, more concert stages. There's all kinds. You missed the whole thing. You missed the. Yeah, there were. All of these vendors, not all of these vendors, several of these vendors hire models.
Oh, God.
And we took pictures, a buddy of mine, we took pictures with some of the most gorgeous, hunky, young, steady men. They're on my phone. I sent them. They're in the shared folder.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I probably went 50% of Pride because I did not go to the vendor side. And I popped in, like, I got in at 3 on Saturday and I left at 3 on Sunday. Okay. I was there for 24 hours. And really think about it, I went to bed early Saturday night. I didn't even go out and party. I was exhausted. But you know what? It was great. I went, slept, was energized. It was so much fun.
I agree. All right, we'll move on. So one of the things I wanted to talk about was in a prior episode, we were talking about Grindr, Scruff, and Sniffies. And
yeah.
I kept combining Scruff and Sniffies and calling it Scruffies. So there's nothing out there called
Scruffies. We should open up Scruffies.
But there's a Scruff and a Grindr, and Sniffies is the web-based app.
Yeah.
I also wanted to talk about this for our listeners. I think that this is important. The last time John and I recorded, I don't know exactly what you said, but I walked in the door and you said, "Hey, Brian, I recognize that it's you, but you don't look like you. You said something like that to me. I walked into your office with such a heavy heart that day that you're just like, it's you, but you look different. And I was like, oh, John. And I said, listen, I'm going to share something with you, and you just, I don't want you to call me tomorrow and check in on me. I don't want you to, like, I don't need anything except to be heard. I just want to just, like, dump my heavy heart on somebody and not, like, have you worried about me the next day. I don't have that with another... As a heterosexual closeted man, I did not have that with one other person, because most of my friends were, I was friends with the husband, my wife was friends with the wife, mm-hmm. and if you told the husband something, you know that their wife knew about it that same night that they got home, and vice versa.
Right.
So I never really bared my soul to another person, because I always felt like it was going to come back to me somehow.
Right.
And now that I'm an out gay man and have such fucking amazing friendships within our group.
Yeah.
I came to you and just freaking was able to bare my soul to you. That feels so good. I cannot describe to the listeners, if you haven't had this opportunity before, to just really authentically and just be so vulnerable with another man and just, you know, share whatever the fuck's going on. I talked about a lot of shit, mm-hmm. and then you shared, mm-hmm. and we both ended up crying.
Yeah, we did. We did. I mean, and thank you.
Yes.
And I appreciate you trusting me to be able to share like that, because I think it's very important. It's very important. We need to be, you know, and sometimes you don't want a solution, and you don't want to hear a solution. And normally, I will give you a solution if you want it or not. However, I think this time I just sat and I listened to you.
Yeah. And some of what I said resonated with you, because then you turned around and you had a lot that you shared with me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it is important. I appreciate that. And I think, you know, our gay fathers group, we're not that intimate, because it's really not a counseling group or that. It's really a socialized group, but it's also a support group. It's a support group that we support each other, because there's just different stages and everything. And I think traditionally men never share their feelings with really anyone. They hold them in, and that's generational too. That was my father, his father, and it was, but I do see it changing. I do see it changing. Hetero men, gay men, whatever. I do see that. And I think groups are fun. You know, I'm rewatching The Crown.
The who?
The Crown. The Crown on Netflix.
Yes. Yeah.
And,
okay.
And there was, I can't remember what, it was maybe they're in the 50s and 60s stages, I think, of it. And I'm sure everyone's seen The Crown. If you haven't, it is just amazing. I love it because it talks about it. You know the history, you've heard of the history, but then they're playing out that history, and there's so many new things that you never knew about. That's why I love it. But anyway, the Queen's husband, whatever his name is, they formed on the grounds of the palace. There was a minister who came, and he wanted to open up a group for men to just come and talk. And he was so against it. He was such an asshole to this guy. You know, he was such an asshole. And he goes in there and he meets all these other priests. So all these priests could come in and just, you know, talk about their problems and things of that nature. And I guess he's the Duke. I don't know. But anyway, the Duke was like, oh, fuck you. You know, you're a bunch of whiny guys. He like, just said, you guys are whiny guys, you know, suck it up and move on and do it. And that ended up being, the Duke ended up being best friends with that priest that came for years and years. And that's all he did. That was his favorite friend. And he would go to this group and talk able to open up.
Yes.
And so, you know, from the 60s, this guy, he was so against it, but you would be surprised. You'd be surprised. And so to our listeners that are out there that are living a straight life, there's so much intimacy that you can, you know, get into, but I know that for me that there was a mask or a front
Yes.
that I had to put on, and it's slowly chiseling away. It didn't chisel away with the short pants. It didn't. I didn't, because I changed.
Yeah.
But boy, have I really knocked off a lot of barnacles, if you will.
Good for you.
Yeah. And thank you for saying that, because I think it's true, Brian. We have to be able to communicate and talk, and sometimes just not give the solution, just
Yes.
listen.
Oh, I listen. People would bang their heads against the walls trying to give me a solution. Since I have come out, my friendships are so much richer than they've ever been in my entire life because I could only share a percentage of myself with another person.
No.
If you are my friend today, you're going to know me from start to finish. I'm a person that shares what's on my mind, what's in my heart. And I have so many people within our Gay Fathers group that I have become good friends with. And I have people reaching out to me, listeners reaching out to me through, I think it's Facebook Messenger. And just the nicest comments that people will write to me. I always forget to check, and a lot of that ends up in the spam section. So I'll like a couple weeks go by, I'm like, oh, the spam section. I click on it. I'm like, oh my God, all these people have written into me. So I thought we would read
Oh,
a
yeah.
letter from one of our listeners in North Carolina.
What's
Sleep all
this?
this stuff. Oh, you know, I found okay, so I found this for our religious people. I was doing some research for one of our podcasts, and this made a lot of sense to me. The Lord is my shepherd, and I forget, and he leads me or whatever it's that.
The Lord my shepherd and
Whatever, I don't even know because I'm not religious. But this was, the Lord is my shepherd, and he knows I'm gay.
Of course
If
he
God,
knows.
if you
Of
believe
course
in
he knows. He
God,
made you.
yeah,
If you believe that.
if you believe in God knows you're gay.
Yeah.
You're gay because you're gay. You're not a sinner. You whatever. So I just thought that was interesting. I wrote that down. The Lord is my shepherd, and he knows I'm gay.
Well, because when God was making all of us, he made straight people first. And then he goes, God, that world is boring down there. All right, hang on. I'm gonna mix it
I'm
up
gonna
a little
sprinkle
bit.
some fairy dust on these up here.
I'm gonna mix this up because they're just too boring. And then comes the gays
Yeah, and the lesbians.
and the lesbians.
Yes.
So yeah, I think it's true. I think it's I think he was bored,
Yeah. Or
or she
she.
was bored.
Or just the energy
Or
of
they were bored.
All right, so here's our North Carolina
Here we go. Let me lay it out.
person.
And thank you for writing in, guys and girls and people who, thank you for writing into us. We love getting your emails. We love getting your messengers. We just love it. And let me get into this one. This is a nice gentleman. It was in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay. So it says, "Hi, John and Brian. My name is X from North Carolina. I found your podcast and I wanted to reach out and thank you for what you're doing. I love listening to your podcast as I'm on my journey to coming out. Currently, my wife and gay best friend know about me." That's nice to hear. "But to everyone else, I'm in the closet. My wife is super supportive and even wears a rainbow necklace now to show her support for me while we work together to figure out our next steps." Listen, that is amazing.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, I don't know if this listener has children at all.
I
Maybe.
believe so. I think there was some correspondence back and forth between him and I, and he does have children.
Has he come out to his children yet, or just the
No,
wife? Okay, all
just
right.
one.
So that, but wow. Okay, so his wife, I mean, because again, my wife was devastated. It was shocking and upsetting and everything. And we don't talk about it anymore
Yeah.
about it. And it seems like your wife is very supportive, and I think that's just beautiful. And I'm sure you're a loving man, and you're supporting her going through her change too, because there's two people that are
Yes.
changing here. Not only just two, but if there's children as well. So there's a big change here, but I love hearing that. I love hearing that. Let me finish what else he's saying. He goes, I'm not sure where this journey will lead, but I was hoping you might have some insight. Well, okay, I just gave you a little insight. Yeah. Do you know any gay fathers or gay husband groups in Central North Carolina? I am looking to connect with guys who are or have been in my stage of life. I know I'm not the first to go through this, but it can be difficult to find people to that. So, X, I'm calling you X because I just didn't want to put your name. X, I'm sure there is. I'm sure Raleigh may have something. Reach out to the bigger, because I'm not sure where.
Well, I referred him to Gay Fathers Worldwide, because within Gay Fathers Worldwide, you can post on there, and there are men from all over the world on there.
Yeah.
There's also, if you're a member, there's a map, so you could go and see who's in your area also.
A map of what?
A map of the, I don't know if it's, maybe it's United States, or maybe it's of the world, and you can kind of see. If you sign into Gay Fathers Worldwide and you give permission, it will show where you're at on the map.
Oh,
you're in LA, you're in San Diego, you're in Raleigh, North Carolina, wherever you're at. But so there's a map
okay.
for that.
Well, look at that. But I also call the big cities, look where the LGBTQ communities are.
And we posted something last episode where it was Granddaddies. It was a group, this person may not be 55 years old, but it was a website for men over 55 years old that have come out as gay. And it was a support and community for
them. I think this guy, I think X is hot. I don't know. He's kind of like a hot guy.
Yeah.
I think, but try that. Yeah, I think that's a Gay Fathers Worldwide is going on from it. But thanks for writing in.
Yes.
And you know what? Will you please follow up with us and let us know how it's going? Because, you know, you just lay it out as a to-do list of, you've already told your wife, you have your gay best friend. I'm sure you have some other people you've come out with. But who's next on that? And is it the kids? I think it should be the kids. And this
well,
is my
it depends opinion. On the age. I think it depends. For well, a lot of people, maybe, it depends on the age.
Well, I think if they're 6 and higher, that's what I did. I waited. They were 6 and 8 when I told them. And because they're going to school, especially in Los Angeles, they're going to school with other kids that has 2 mommies, 2 daddies. I mean, blended family. It's there. These kids are exposed at early stages. Now, I'm not saying you go and do it at whatever feels comfortable to you and your wife, because your wife is your advocate there. And, you know, I'm assuming you guys are still living together. And if you have children, you know, they just see the parents. But I thought that, my ex-wife and I, or soon to be ex-wife, we did. It was brilliant the way we did it. We were telling our children we were divorcing, and that's huge. That's huge. And we put, I can't remember where, but we didn't tell them in the house. We told them outside of the house because we didn't want them to have that memory in the home.
Okay.
So we went to a neutral place. I can't remember where, but we had already planned it out. I'd already got another home. I already got another, you know, bedroom for the boys, all their toys, everything, you know, had already set this up. And then we told them, and they were, well, I didn't tell them we were gay. I was gay. We were just saying mom and dad are separating. We still love you. I thought that was very important. And we told them about the new house, and they were more excited to go see their new house. And because I think it took their little minds off of, oh my God, they're devastated of, well, what's next? Because if you don't have a next for children or for anyone, I feel that they're going to create the next and they're going to spin out.
Yeah.
They're going to spin out. So the best advice I can give anybody is have the plan and have something after that plan so they understand what's going on. And that's children, or that could be the wife that you're talking about, or that you need to talk with. So that's what we did, and it was very successful. It was very successful. So I wish you well, but please circle back to us and let us know how things go.
There was another gentleman I met in Palm Springs that was part of the worldwide group. He had come out. He was down in Palm Springs. Him and his wife were separated. But they had teenage children.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out to their children. and one of their children had a request of, he didn't want his father to publicly come out until he graduated high school. You gotta listen to your kids. I wanted that for my youngest son because I came out during COVID when he was in high school and I shared in one of our very first episodes. I posted something on social media, on TikTok, like a jackass, and outed myself to his school, which came back to him. So he didn't have that. Unfortunately, I feel like I robbed him of that.
Right.
But at the same time, I will share with you, he was in boot camp. He graduated on Friday.
Oh, that's
great. He came home, and on the ride home with my ex and both of my boys, he asked about my podcast. So I had never shared my podcast with my ex-wife before.
Okay.
And he asked about it in the car. And we talked about it, and my wife said, or my ex-wife, she said, good for you. I mean, she was, I don't know that she's ever listened to the podcast, but she was supportive, at least in the car, of the podcast. And you may not know this, but I shared this in the car. We've had over 17,000 downloads as of right now.
Really?
So he actually got together with a group of his friends. We got home on Friday. He said, I'm going to make it an early night. Because he's used to going to bed at 8 o'clock at night. He stayed up until 2 o'clock in the morning. But the next morning, he says to me when he woke up, he's like, oh my God, I was out with my friends. And I said to them, I said to my friends, guess how many downloads my dad's podcast has? So these are all 18-year-old kids, and he's telling his friend group about our podcast. So I think that's amazing.
He's awesome.
A great kid.
I think that's great.
We were down at a nice hotel in San Diego, but I slept on I don't know if I got bitter. It's not pink eye because it's not goopy, but I got something in my eye. I don't know if it's a wind or what, but my eye's all jacked up. So,
did you put anything on?
Yeah, I have. I've been putting drops in it, but it just it's swollen. Looks like
Benadryl.
I got punched in.
Take some Benadryl.
Maybe it's the allergies from the wind, huh?
It could be. And it's been, we've had fires. This was bad. All the fires have been going. Or blues. It's like it's just devastating. Real quick, Jill and I were in Europe traveling. I think before we got married, or right after we got married, and we were in Italy and. For some reason, the air conditioner was working, and they said, open the window. So I opened the window. And that night, the next morning, we woke up, and Jill's both eyes were swollen shut. And what had happened, the mosquitoes came in there and landed on her eyelids while she was sleeping. And I'm like, I can't believe it. And she's starting to put ice on it. Don't do anything. I'm going to go down there and get this room for free for the next week. Because don't put anything. I don't want the swelling to go down just yet. She goes, what the fuck? I go, no, hang on. I'm going to get us some free food. And we did.
The more hideous you look,
the
more we're going to get.
Exactly. And we totally, they were so apologetic. And then, it was great.
How nice is that? Oh, my God. All right. Well, we are at 38 minutes. Are we good on this one?
I think we're good on this, everyone.
And we're going to read these other ones
when
we come back. So, all right, for the next one. And the next one, tune in next week because we have some fun stuff.
Tune in next week. And remember, referral. If we can help you guys out, that's what supports this podcast. This podcast is brought to you by, we don't have any sponsors.
No.
We're not getting any money. So it'd be nice to,
Or maybe we get a sponsor.
Yeah,
maybe
if you don't have a sponsor, then we'll get a sponsor. Maybe the Soap King. It's the Soap King. I still have one left. One of our listeners owns a soap boutique.
No, he owns a high-end home decor store.
Right.
And they had those homemade
soaps. Soap.
I saved one, too. I used two of them, but I'm like, this last one, I got to save it.
Jackson's using it. I don't get to use it.
When we were in Palm Springs, I went to the dispensary. They have hemp soap. So I got some soap while I was down there, too.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
My body's high as a kite.
I bet it was. All right.
All right, you guys.
Everyone, thanks for listening.
Thank you so much.
Make it a great day, guys. Make it a great day. Take care.
Bye.